Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we're skipping Not My Beat today. There's a ton happening around the sports world. Spent most of the first hour of the show on the NBA Finals. But that's not the only championship being decided. Right now, the UFL Championship goes down tomorrow night, 8 p.m. is the kickoff, and the hometown team is fighting for the title. DC Defenders coach Shannon Harris with us now on the Hoffman Show. Shannon, how we doing, man? Feeling good? About, what are we, 27 hours away from kick? Anthony? What happened to Shannon?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You there?
We got you now, coach. I was all hyped up and ready to go. How you feeling?
I know, right? All good, man. Everything going well. And, we're here in St. Louis and, did all the media stuff and gotten all that out the way. And like you said, 27 hours away from it and counting down. So, you know, we're ready to go out and, you know, do the things we're supposed to do to bring home a championship for D.C.
So this has been a heck of a season for you. You took over the job just a couple weeks before it started when Reggie Barlow left for your alma mater, Tennessee State, and you elevate to the head coaching job. When you got the head coach role, Shannon, what was the first thing you wanted to establish, kind of make it, hey, this is us together this season, but also put your own personal stamp on it? How did you approach that head coaching position going all the way back to March?
Yeah, I mean – first and foremost, you know, very grateful for Coach Barlow and allowing me to be in that position because, when he decided to take the position to Tennessee State, you know, he had some say in me being put into that position. So between him and our GM, Vaughn, and meeting with our president, with Moose, and, you know, Russ Brandon, so I tell you, I'm very grateful for them. But you know, the biggest thing for me going into it was, you know, creating an identity. You know, who are we as a football team? You know, what type of football team we're going to be? You know, in 2023, you know, we went 9-1 in the regular season, and 10-2 overall, and losing in the championship game. And then last year, things didn't go as well as we planned to go. And finishing 4-6, missing the playoff and all those things. So the biggest part was, you know, getting back to our identity, to who we were as a organization and what we were capable of doing when we put all the pieces together and when we can all be on the same page.
And then was that something that you – like, I always think leadership has to be multi-layered, right? So what are some of the things you did, and then what are some of the ways that you empowered players, and who are some of the players that stepped up to help you establish that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me was, you know, was at more meeting times, making sure that, you know, there was no questions in anything that we did, you know, from a scheduling standpoint, how practice is going to be, what's the tempo, you know, what all those things are going to be like to the players, you know. And so there was no issue with them not knowing anything. We wanted to make sure that we laid the foundation out to make sure that they understood everything we're going to do, from practice to meetings to walkthroughs, whatever the case may be. And, you know, from a player standpoint, you know, the biggest thing is we talked about it to them guys is that all championship teams are player driven. And so we needed guys, our core foundation guys, to make sure they step up. And those guys were kind of identified through the coaches and through the players. And those guys kind of spoke up, you know, all the time. And always, you know, when coaches didn't have to say anything, the players did it. So and that was the biggest thing, just letting guys know we trust them. They trust us. And let's make sure we work together well and be on the same page, and everything else will follow suit.
It's followed all the way up to a title game appearance and a chance at a championship tomorrow night. Shannon Harris with us, D.C. Defenders head coach on the Hoffman Show. When, Shannon, did you think, like, oh, this, we got a shot here? Is it sometime during the regular season where you're like, I think this is, the message is hit and we're on a good path, or did it take all the way into the playoffs?
No, honestly, it took off week one, you know, and what a better way to start the season. Playing the three-time defending champ in Birmingham Stallion, you know, Coach Holtz and his staff and that organization, and for what they have done over the past few years, it speaks volumes. And but yeah, that was the whole thing about it too. Like, we were excited, and I know I was, and that was the biggest part for us too as well, was that I'm glad that we get to play the three-time champions first, because that set the tone for what we need to be in camp. We didn't have time to try to ease our way into camp. We needed to hit the ground running and make sure that we establish discipline, we establish hard work, we establish all those things that's going to allow us to be where we are now today. And so we took on that challenge, and being that we had to play Birmingham week one, that put us where we need to be and to get us where we need to be right at this point right now.
Shane, I want to ask you two questions about coaching in this league, because obviously it's a spring league. You got guys that are trying to earn a spot in the NFL. You know, obviously I'm sure you would love to at some point be coaching in the NFL. I'm sure for right now you'd love to just get that interim tag off. And I think getting as far as you have, at the very least, that's what we should be talking about right now. Get that done. Getting to the championship game. But the idea that, like, a lot of folks in this league are going to have aspirations beyond this league, but at the same time, you're trying to come together as a unit and win right now. How does that dynamic play out for you, especially as a head coach?
Yeah, I tell you, like you said, man, this is a league of opportunity. The UFL is a great league, and the value that it creates for not only the players, but for everyone that within the organization, is from coaches to our strength and conditioning guys, and to our equipment managers, and to our trainers. So everyone, you know, creating value for themselves to who have been in the NFL or getting that opportunity to go to the NFL. And I tell you, the NFL have benefited from a lot of the things from the UFL. When you talk about the kickoff and the kickoff return rules, right? And then you talk about just having guys that are already game ready once they play the season through the UFL. And so, you know, guys with experience from coaching and or all the other people that I named within the organization from a support staff standpoint. So, you know, all those things are help, you know, get people to where they want to go and have that opportunity to go into the NFL. And it's been exciting to be a part of it, you know, and especially for me to where I am right now, you know, to get off to a really good start in the first year. So we're embracing it all, and can't wait to see where it takes us.
Another fascinating part about the UFL to me, Shannon, as a guy who has covered the NFL for a long time, football coaches, y'all are the worst about trying to keep secrets. You guys think that everything that's ever happened is a state secret. And here you are in the UFL, your play calls are on the broadcast, like all your communication is available. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a very open league, which is an amazing viewing experience. But does that mm-hmm. affect, or how does that affect you as a coach?
Doesn't affect them at all. You know, I'll tell you, it was some adjusting and getting used to at first, for sure. And, you know, on all phases of the ball, from offense, defensive, and special teams. And guys were trying to do their best to keep secrets, but you can't in our league. So, you know, you have coaches go back and watch live footage of the game and hear the calls that what coordinators are making and try to figure it out. But, you know, you still don't figure those things out, man. You still got to go out and play the game and study the game the way you're supposed to study it and try to game plan from that standpoint. You know, all the live footage and things like that, the access that you get, I do believe that it's great for our viewers and our fans, so they can have an opportunity to get a deep inside of what we do and how we operate. So, I mean, for me, I love it. And, I mean, I think the UFL have created some things that the NFL can adapt to.
And then last but not least, Coach, the game. This weekend, you got a championship on the line tomorrow night. It's a Michigan Panthers team that you guys played earlier this year. That one didn't go great, but hey, who cares? If you win tomorrow, that's the only one that matters. What to you are some of the high-level keys to the game that you're trying to, you know, you've been preaching all week to your guys, and that'll be the final message you give them tonight and before the game tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I talking to the player, talking to the team, coaches, it's kind of like, you know, how Baltimore Ravens beat up on Buffalo, right, early in the season. And the same type of quarterback that we are facing in the team and how they beat up on us early in the season. And then later on in the season, how, you know, Buffalo came back later in the season and was ready for the moment. Of course, the weather itself was totally different in Baltimore, I mean, in Buffalo at that time. But the bottom line of it is, it's playoff football now, not regular season, right? So, our mindset, you know, have shifted from regular season to playoff, knowing that the physicality of the game is a lot different. You know, us having a lot of players out in that game when we first played against those guys. And we've been wearing that chip on our shoulders for sure ever since that game. And, you know, it was a huge awakening for us, you know, guys taking other teams for granted. So, you know, for us, we had that chip on our shoulder since that game. It got us to clinch early, and so we took advantage of that in the last 2 weeks of making sure we played a lot of our young players and backups and things like that so they can get a lot of playing time and create value for themselves. But, you know, we understand that this is playoff football. We know what type of team they are, and, you know, we're up for the challenge and definitely going to go out and play a different brand of football than what we did in the regular season now in the championship game.
Shannon Harris, currently the interim coach, hopefully soon to be the full-time head coach of the D.C. Defenders. Just one more notch in the belt for this year, Shannon. Good luck in the title game tomorrow night. We're pulling for you here in D.C.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you all.
Absolutely. Shannon Harris with us here on the Hoffman Show. D.C. Defenders, Michigan Panthers for the UFL title tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Coming up at 5:30, the other football, the U.S. men's national soccer team is an absolute dumpster fire right now. They are at arguably their lowest point in 25 years, and they have reached that point 1 year before they host the World Cup. And they're supposed to have this golden generation of talent. What the hell is happening with them? Jeff Reuter joins us from The Athletic coming up at 5:30. Also still to come, more look ahead to the NBA Finals and our weekend preview in the final hour as well here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Jeff Reuter, The Athletic soccer reporter, joins us 5:30 here on the Hoffman Show to go inside the nightmare that is the U.S. men's national team. It's not great. Just how bad is it? We'll talk to Jeff coming up in just a few minutes. Our weekend preview still to come. NBA Finals preview, keys to the game for Game 4 tonight. Anthony, I feel like I'm missing something big still. Logan's gonna give you reasons why some of the stuff that is just like, oh, that's a fun little note. High school coaches being at practice and the family barbecue that happened after the final day of OTAs, why that stuff's actually kind of a big deal. Low-key big deal, but a big deal. Logan shares his insight coming up at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, I just wanted to follow up quickly on the conversation we just had with Shannon Harris, head coach of the D.C. Defenders, Anthony, because I kind of want to check out that football game tomorrow night now.
Yes, sir. 8 p.m., man.
Yeah, the thing is, like, it's hard. The UFL is hard in the same way that watching any new league is hard. Like, football's great. I obviously enjoy football. It's not the highest level of football, so that is obviously something where you're going to see some more missed throws, some more drops, some silly things happen. In the same way that college football is not as good as NFL football. They're obviously different. But you also don't, like, it's easy to chime in tomorrow, especially if you just hear the interview with Shannon. You're like, oh, that guy sounds cool. I'm invested now in Shannon, right? And this is why, like, if you're a league and you're trying to grow in popularity, you try to put your people out there. But it's storylines and people. Like, the reason that we get attached to these leagues and follow it and it becomes more fun the closer you pay attention is if you know the people. And, like, for instance, I do not follow the Nationals very closely. I've not followed a baseball team closely in a long time. That is no secret. Everybody knows that, I think, that listens to this show. I know enough to ask smart people questions and get answers if we need to ask them. But it's not that I have never enjoyed baseball. In fact, the most I probably ever enjoyed baseball was 2013, 2014. I was working in Dallas, and I was on the Rangers, more or less the beat. I had a role with we had the Rangers on our station down there, and our network post-game show. I did like a very quick interview, but it meant I had to go to the games, and I was watching every single day. And I will tell you, baseball is way more fun when you follow it every day because you're into the decisions of the manager. You're into the storylines of the people. Oh, this guy's been down in the minors. He's back up, or he's on a hot streak. Can he keep it going? He's on a cold streak. Can he snap it? Like, you're invested in the storylines. And the same is true, like, you know, if you're getting into, like, I mean, go a bigger example. a lot of people got into women's basketball because of Caitlin Clark, because they learned her story. And it's like, you're drawn in by something, right? The hook is she's hitting step back logo threes, but then you're like, oh, she was about to go to Notre Dame and then she decided not to. And, you know, what, like, what's this girl doing at Iowa? She seems, very good and she's supposed to be at Connecticut, right? So like, there's all these storylines that you learn about the people. And then if you like the people and you like the storylines, you stay invested in the sport and maybe you wind up learning about some of their teammates. And, you know, it might be one person who intros you to a sport, but then you get hooked. And it's not just because of the sport itself. It's because there's a human connection to it. And so that's actually why I am intrigued by this UFL thing, for as a viewing. And not that I'm ever going to probably bump it up above the NBA or above some of the other sports that I've already got so much time invested into. But I think they've done a lot of right things, including like the play. Like I am a nerd when it comes to football language. So getting to hear the play calls and stuff, like that stuff's super cool to me. That stuff's sweet. And with a championship on the line, having just talked to the head coach, knowing a little bit about his story, knowing some of the guys that hey, these are some of the best players in the league. Maybe they'll be, you know, trying to fight for an NFL roster spot in a couple months. I think I might watch a little UFL championship game tomorrow night, Anthony.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's pretty cool to see, you know, a lot of these guys go out there and, you know, continue to chase that dream of, you know, getting back in the NFL or just playing football in general. You got guys like DeAndre Baker, you know, former first round pick by the Giants in 2019. You got Kelvin Joseph, who, you know, had a small stint in the NFL. So it's cool to see some of these guys, you know, go out there, guys we saw in the NFL, and, like, continue to play. And I think that's more so, like, what I'm intrigued about, just these guys having that opportunity. And that's what the UFL is all about, you know, giving these guys an opportunity. And hopefully one of these guys, you know, end up actually being able to make an NFL roster this upcoming season.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll ever get, you know, like, NBA Finals, right? Pascal Siakam spent some real time in the NBA G League.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of other guys at this point that have spent, Chris Middleton now with the Wizards, obviously multiple time All-Star, with the NBA champion, with Milwaukee Bucks. Like, he spent real time in the G League. And these developmental leagues are so important. I know the UFL only so much sees itself as a developmental league. They're like, no, we're a spring league. Our goal is to exist as us, to compete as us. We're not trying to be a feeder league for the NFL, but we can also be adults about it, and they might not look at themselves that way and run themselves that way, but certainly that's what a lot of the guys, like, they didn't, as little kids, be like, I want to be in the UFL one day. No, they wanted to be in the NFL. And the hard part about football is the games are really, really rare, right? And if you're a guy that's even on a practice squad, you might be in the NFL for 5 years on practice squads, getting better, and never get a chance to show it in a game. And so that's kind of the cool thing for me about the UFL is, all right, let's say you're a guy, especially if you're a better game player than practice player, mm-hmm. go out and make some plays. And is that going to be enough to get you on an NFL roster and get you on the field and get you snaps? Probably not. You know, if you go, you know, make a roster and then you stink in training camp, you're probably still going to get cut. Yeah. So you're going to eventually have to learn how to be a good practice player. But it definitely opens the door to different experiences. And even if you're a guy that, say, you've been in the NFL practice squads for a couple years, you're like, let me go try this UFL thing out. You go out, you ball out, you get back on a practice squad. You now had maybe a confidence boost, or you've seen how, oh, I learned how to do this in the NFL. I applied it. And now I know how to do it even better. And you go back to the NFL, and maybe now you're a backup instead of being on the practice squad. And maybe you eventually earn starters minutes. Maybe you get a real contract, et cetera. And so it's really hard. And it's funny because, like, this is a selfish aside, but, like, play-by-play broadcasting. Football is one of the hardest sports to call, in part because it's hard to find games. You know, if you're trying to get reps calling football, there's only so many games. Like, you're better off just going to find some random high school game and, like, sit in the stands with a tape recorder versus there's 1,000 basketball games, you know, that you can call if you're a young broadcaster out there looking to get in the play-by-play space. there's just not a lot of time and not a lot of space to develop. And so this, I think there's a lot of good stuff about having this league, some of it NFL adjacent, some of it entertainment product adjacent. As Shannon said, some of the rules they've been able to experiment with. And I hope that there continues to be some kind of partnership, or at least paying attention, obviously, of the NFL to the UFL, because ultimately I think this league is a very good thing. And it's, you know, championship on the line and a chance for a DC team to win one tomorrow night. 8 o'clock is when the game kicks off. All right, we get back. Jeff Reuter. Oh, man, U.S. men's national team. They seem very far from success right now. What the heck is happening with a golden generation of talent on the verge of hosting a World Cup? Why is it a dumpster fire? Jeff Reuter, next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Some Commanders talk coming at you at 6 o'clock. We'll preview the NBA Finals at 6:30. Right now, though, a story that I've kind of just been waiting to talk about all week. I haven't had time to do it with Commanders minicamp and the finals and all the things, but I was not going to let it pass. The U.S. men's national team, the soccer team, is arguably at its lowest point we've seen in a quarter century. That is obviously not good. It's especially not good when you frame it with the other factoid that the U.S. is hosting the World Cup a year from now. It's supposed to be a golden generation of players. Instead, it has been a whole lot of failure. Jeff Reuter is a senior writer for The Athletic who is covering all of it. Jeff, welcome to the show. Are you ready to be the bearer of bad news or perhaps some sort of hope that I don't see coming around the corner?
See, here's the thing, Craig. You've already bore the bad news. The bad news is that the team does not look remotely close to being prepared for this tournament. But, you know, I think that there's a lot we can dive into here. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It is time to see whether that light around the corner is a train, as we are seem to be walking down a bunch of tracks with how this team is going, or is there perhaps a light at the end of the tunnel? So let's start off peeling all the way back. There's certainly some soccer fans that follow this that are listening to the show. There's also a bunch of people that are just sports fans that are getting excited, maybe ready to watch the World Cup. That is the tournament that everyone watches. And last time they checked in, the U.S. has done some nice things, and hey, these young guys look like they're going to do some stuff. What is the biggest reason? Like, I guess, first of all, let me start here, Jeff. Like, is the U.S. in as much trouble as it seems, or is there still time to fix what is wrong? And are they doing smart things, resting guys, whatever, to try to be ready for 2026?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, it's an inconclusive pile of evidence here. And that almost is even more concerning, right? Because it's one thing if you say, no, they are not on track, and here are the reasons why, and here's what they can do to fix it. It's another thing, of course, if they are on track, right? And then we're all surprised if they don't do well next summer. But the fact is, you have a large number of these players who are playing in Europe. And for years, that seemed to be the magic solution to bring men's soccer in the United States up to the caliber of some of the biggest nations in Europe and South America in particular, was to have more players playing in the biggest leagues in the world. The hard part is a lot of these players aren't regular starters for those clubs. You know, you look at, for example, Giovanni Reyna, who was supposed to be kind of the future of the program, you know, New Jersey kid. His father, Claudio, was the captain of the U.S. men's national team in past World Cups, played for Manchester City. And Giovanni Reyna was playing for Borussia Dortmund, and he hasn't even played 2,000 minutes over the last 4 years combined. Just to put that into scale, if you are a regular starter in Europe, you will play at least 2,000 minutes in one season in the league alone. So it's a really concerning lack of playing time, and players who maybe move to clubs where they're not going to be able to actually develop to the best of their abilities. You also throw in U.S. soccer firing Greg Berhalter after a failure last summer at the Club America, or the Copa America, and then you replace him with Mauricio Pochettino, who is one of the most famous managers in the world. He's an Argentine. He's played in World Cups in his playing day. He's coached Tottenham Hotspur, Paris Saint-Germain, some of the biggest clubs in the world. The issue, though, is that Pochettino has never worked in international management. He's not used to the infrequent cadence of training with this group of players. He's not used to having little control over their tactical abilities day after day after day like you get when you coach a team, a club in England or elsewhere in the world. So it's unfortunately, this year has looked like a lost year, where instead of making progress to fix some of those issues, the lack of depth in goal, around center backs and defending, instead of that, they're still pretty much just all learning each other's names at this point, and it's really concerning to see.
So we're headed here in the next couple of weeks to the summer transfer window. Are there moves on the horizon for some of these key players to get to different clubs, even if they are not as prestigious, but that will actually play them?
So the issue is the first two moves that have been close to finalized or have been finalized don't actually seem to help with that playing time issue. You look at one of them, which is the United States' starting goalkeeper, Matt Turner. He started at the last World Cup, and for decades, goalkeeper had been the strong position of the U.S. men's national team, where no matter how weak the left back was or the striker, we always had a good goalkeeper, and they were usually bald, right? When you think of Brent Friedel, Casey Keller, Tony Miola with his hair off, either he makes up for the rest, but you've got Tim Howard, and you've just got this whole lineage of goalkeepers who are of a world-class caliber, and Matt Turner hasn't been that guy. But when he's playing regularly, he's looked really locked in, a really dependable shot stopper, and organizes his defense well. Well, he hasn't been playing either. He played four games last year. None of them were in the Premier League for Crystal Palace. They're all in cups, tournaments, one-offs. And now he's moving to Olympique Lyon, who is one of the top teams in France. They will be playing in continental competition, but their starter was above-average starter, Brazil International. And it doesn't really look like he's going to be usurped in the position. The other one, Yunus Musa, really struggled at AC Milan in midfield. And now he's going to Napoli, who actually finished above Milan in the Italian table. And so it looks like, if anything, he's going to get fewer minutes. So, I think that there are some other players to watch. Gio Reyna's situation is going to be worth monitoring, just given his lack of playing time with Dortmund. There could be some clubs that are in for left-back Anthony Robinson, who's been one of the few players, along with Christian Pulisic, who have actually been playing, starting regularly at a high level and, dependable for the men's national team as well. But, yeah, right now it's kind of slim pickings in terms of if you're looking for those silver linings and those transfers that look like they'll be, the turnkey moment needed to kick this thing back into action.
Jeff Reuter with us here on the Hoffman Show, senior writer for The Athletic, covering global soccer, and thus that is the mess that is the U.S. men's national team right now. And just real quick, before we get back into some of the players and some of the potential solutions here, nevertheless, Ponch as a coach. Jeff, you wrote an article this week using the ELO rating system as a barometer for just where we are. I feel like I probably should have done this earlier, so that's my bad. Bad miss by an American. It's kind of the subject of the interview. Like, can you contextualize how deep of a hole the U.S. men's national team is in right now?
Yes. So the ELO rating system, for listeners, rather than FIFA's rankings, which are always kind of convoluted and they always favor Europe and South America and don't really pay attention to the rest of the world very well, head-to-head is how the ELO ratings work. It was actually adopted from chess, where it's very simple. If you have Bobby Fischer going against a random guy and Bobby Fischer wins, well, he's going to gain this many points to his score. The other guy's going to lose so many points. And then all of a sudden you have your rankings assigned by those points, right? And the U.S. men's national team, for much of the last 20 years or so, has been around 15th through 30th. So when the World Cup was 32 teams, they always looked like a team that deserved to qualify. They were always competitive, even when they missed in 2018. Right now they are down near 50. They're at 46, which is the lowest point in the ELO ratings that they've been in since 1997. After they had tied at home against Jamaica in World Cup qualifying. So this is the lowest point that the program has been in the 21st century, purely in terms of what their results are showing, in terms of who they're beating, who they're losing to, how badly they're losing, and their poor performances in recent tournaments, including last summer's Copa America, where they lost in the group stage despite hosting the tournament, and then this year, the Nations League, which again was played in the United States.
Those two tournaments went poorly. We're kind of expecting the next one to go poorly as well. The Gold Cup is up next for the U.S., and a lot of their top players are not going to be playing. Why? And is this, like, how big of a missed opportunity is this?
So I think on this side, I tend to look at it from the human side of it. And Christian Pulisic is the obvious standout, notable. He's the most famous men's player from the United States since the heydays of Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey, and he will not be playing in this Gold Cup because he has been playing regularly for over 2 years nonstop, and he wants to take the summer to have a normal soccer player's off season and train with his club in Italy, AC Milan, and then be ready for the 2026 World Cup. And in a vacuum, you look at it, and he's played, again, 2,000 minutes was that barometer I said for a regular player. He's played almost 6,000 over the last 2 years, so he's playing a lot. And him and Anthony Robinson, the left back for Fulham, a London-based club in the Premier League, both of them will not play in this tournament. And a big part of it is to preserve their fitness. And for those two, it makes a lot of sense to me. What gets difficult is when a player like Yunus Musah doesn't want to play in it because he needs to kind of collect his head as he's going to change clubs. You have other key players who have kind of soft injuries that, you know, they're unable to participate in, and so you understand it. You don't want to bring an injured player to a tournament. But what it leaves you with now is maybe six players of the 23, 26 who have been called in for the Gold Cup who look like they could viably make the World Cup roster. There are a lot of players there who 2 months ago, and this is no disrespect to them, they're very good professional players. At this point, you're not really seeing them just call up, you know, the bagging clerk that, you know, some guy has played pickup soccer with. Like, these are all very high-level athletes. But none of them at this point, several of them do not look like they would make a World Cup squad. And we're a year out, and this is the last major tournament they'll play in. And they don't have a roster to really test stuff. So even if Pochettino wants to come in as coach and say, all right, we're using this tournament to really work on our defending shape, and we want to make sure everyone's in a good structure, and we know how each other moves left and right and pick up cues, that's great. You're going to have to do it all over again when the A team shows up. So it's very frustrating for Pochettino, you would imagine. It's frustrating for U.S. soccer, who is now unable really to use this team and its performance in the Gold Cup as almost an advertisement or like something to point fans to as, hey, see how we'll do next summer. Things are going okay. And yeah, there are some individual cases where you really look at a player and say they really should be there, because the fact that they're not honestly opens it up where they might lose their spot on that roster. And frankly, at this point, in some cases, they'd only have themselves to blame.
Jeff Reuter from The Athletic with us here on The Hoffman Show. So let's talk about the Pochettino piece of this. As you said, tremendously accomplished a club coach, new to the international scene. How do you think, like, there's some stuff that's beyond his control, like we just talked about with some of the players, and this is part of international football, as you have players that are in and out, the whole deal. Of the things
Absolutely.
That he's controlled, how well, or of the things that he can control, how well do you think he's done so far?
I actually don't think he's done well. You know, and I think that you can look at the results and say that's easy, that's lazy, you have to look underneath. But if you really get under the hood and you're examining what's going on with this team, they're not playing with the requisite fight and determination that you usually expect. When you think of the U.S. men's national team, you think of 2002, you know, surprising Portugal with diving headers and crunching tackles. You think of 2010 and 2014, which is, you know, tireless defensive runs and then good counterattacks and some, you know, moments of brilliance from Donovan and Dempsey and Altidore and these heroes of the program, right? You just don't really see those sorts of performances from these players. That's sort of like, I'm giving 110%. And it's not to say that they're not trying, but it's just, it manifests in a very different way where it's more finesseful. This generation of players wants to be on the ball more than they want to do work off of it. So Pochettino hasn't looked like he's gotten them to see the beauty in the hard work of the job of playing professional soccer, which is not encouraging. You also can look at it and say that the team's shape, he has experimented a couple of times with different lineups and calibrations, but nothing has really come off. And again, when you look at the talent identification, there are players who have gotten major minutes under Pochettino now who of next summer's roster. We had a really hard time even considering some of the players who will be in this tournament because they just don't look to be of a World Cup caliber. And so at that point, that does fall on Pochettino in his back room to actually, you know, be able to identify those players, or if there's a player who's put in some really difficult performances or poor performances, you know, for a few times in a row, maybe rotate him out, give him a window to clear his head and bring in someone else. But yeah, right now it's so inconclusive, and I think it has been readily apparent, Craig, just how much Pochettino is learning on the job. And I think that that might have been a critical mistake at a point when the U.S. soccer couldn't really afford the patience to let someone learn on the fly.
The resumes of some of the folks at U.S. soccer are quite good. They have really botched the men's side of the program, seemingly, since this group has been in charge, from the decision to keep Berhalter longer than they needed to eventually coming to the realization that they had done that, moving on, how the coaching search went, now Pochettino. The general vibes around the program are pretty terrible. And I think going back to something you just said, Jeff, like the lack of identity in this program was something they talked about wanting to build. There's like, we're going to have a distinct way to play. We're going to unite. You know, the senior team is going to play like the U23s, like the 19s. And on the women's side, they're doing it. And Emma Hayes, to her credit, on the women's side, was like, I know what American soccer is. We're going to go to pain caves. We're going to suffer. We're going to be super athletic, and everyone else is going to die before we do. And Emma, that's coming right over from Europe, embraced that, and they won the Olympic medal, even though she was on the job for like 3 months. On the men's side, you have these, you know, as you said, players playing in Europe, playing the European style, and they're just not as good at it as the actual European clubs. Is this something that U.S. soccer needs to fix from the top? Is it a Pochettino thing? Like, what are your thoughts on kind of that identity piece of this equation?
I think that the identity does have to come in part from the top down. Emma Hayes' work on the women's national team program is a perfect example where you look and say, someone who comes in with a vision, with a backroom staff, adequate support, really smart people that she's working with and delegating to, who are able to come up and say, this is a good youth tournament, we should send our under 20s to there, and they will be better prepared in 4 years' time, and they will be more familiar playing with each other. And so everyone wins at this point, even if we don't win the tournament, right? Stuff like that is very important. And on the men's side, there's a little bit of that, but by and large, they play a lot of friendlies. And this year on the senior side, they've had to play a lot of friendlies. And that's by nature of hosting a World Cup. You don't have to qualify for the World Cup. They will not throw a World Cup without you involved in it if you are hosting it, right? So you lose some really critical, you know, it's often anywhere from 10 to 14 games of qualifiers against North and Central American teams. And they are some of the most physical games. They require teams to go into those pain caves. They require teams to really toughen up and get used to winning ugly. And they aren't having those opportunities. And for some players who joined either really late before the World Cup or just after the last World Cup in Qatar in 2022, they haven't had those experiences together. I think you also have to look, though, at the evolution of club soccer in Europe. And right now there is an obsession with highly curated systems where every player on the field has very specific, like, job descriptions and marching orders, to the point where they pretty much only make a decision of one of three things that their coach has said are smart and that they should do. So this is a generation of players that pretty much has been reading off of instruction manuals instead of playing off of instinct. And as a result of that, when you get them into these games where they're scrappy or where whatever their first trick was didn't work or whatever the case is, they don't really have that intuition as much as they used to problem solve, to get out of this and to try something audacious that will work better than what they've been trained to do. And so I think that you have a generation of players that are playing well at big clubs because they've been raised to fit that model. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily good fits for international soccer, which is very much you roll the ball out and you pretty much find what the opponent will allow you to take in a game. So it is unfortunately a bit of everything. And I think that the most worrying part, we're less than 365 days away from that tournament kicking off now. And it's going to happen with the U.S. involved, whether they're ready or not. And it's just really hard to see the evidence that they are more prepared today for that 2026 World Cup than they were at the immediate conclusion of the 2022 installment in Qatar.
Jeff Reuter is with us here on the Hoffman Show. Last thing for you, Jeff. Then there's the drama. As if all of that wasn't enough, there is the social media posts by Landon Donovan, the retorts from Clint Dempsey, two former teammates and perhaps the two best players that have come through the American program in the last 20, 25 years, those two, and obviously Tim Howard, the goalkeeper who you mentioned earlier. But as you look at Pulisic and his dad and Twitter fights or Instagram fights with Donovan and Dempsey, like, I guess I don't really have a very intelligent question here, Jeff, besides kind of like, what's your take? What to use the most important thing, if there's such a thing exists out of this, whether it's a substantive thing that someone has said or whether it's the drama that further ruins the vibes of this already bad thing that seems to be happening?
Yeah, I think that you look at this and it's a situation that really is just sad. Whenever something like this happens, it's really hard to look at it and really feel anything but, you know, dejection at the fact that this is what it's come to. Because I think in a vacuum, again, it makes sense if Christian Pulisic is, you know, if he's feeling fatigued, tired, and this is something if you watch his games with AC Milan, you would notice from about February onward, he looked to have a little bit less of that jolt than he did over the first year and a half that he was with the club. So there were visible signs of some fatigue, not necessarily injury, but just a player who has been playing nonstop for 2 years and hasn't had a chance to kick his feet up. And so I think it does make sense. I mean, personally, if you ask my opinion on it, I think it's a good thing, because I think that you also need to give other players an opportunity to figure out how to win games for the U.S. who aren't named Christian Pulisic, so that there are alternatives who can do that sort of thing when you get to a World Cup. So I actually think it's an entirely defensible decision. But where it gets difficult is in the past, these sorts of things would not, these squabbles between ex-legends and current players, or current players and their coaches, or their parents are getting involved by posting on Instagram, or, you know, trying to blackmail the coach, right? Like, these are things that did not used to be part and parcel of the U.S. soccer program on either side of the program, men's or women's or any other. So there's a point where it's just like, okay, this is how tense it has gotten. This is also, frankly, the landscape that we've gotten into right now, where there is an appetite for content, where instead of having independent journalists really kind of parsing these things through and trying to do it in a research-measured way, you have a lot of ex-players who are in the podcasting and TV arenas, and they will draw larger audiences often than these independent things can. So it's a juggernaut, and at a certain point, there's going to be an appetite for their feelings. And if this is how they feel, and then they can escalate it, it is going to overtake, you know, maybe what more of that sort of measured approach might look like. So it becomes a thing where Christian Pulisic goes on CBS Sports yesterday morning to do an interview on a podcast live streamed, where he pretty much just says, like, hey, you know, I thought that these were things that maybe we talk about, or maybe people say things to me that are really nice in one way, and then they go in public and they say something completely different and it feels hurtful. It's just, again, it's unproductive. It shows a lot of fissures and cracks in the armor, so to speak, in terms of like how iron tight this program really is right now. And it really shows how nervous everyone is about that World Cup, because frankly, if people felt secure about the World Cup next year and the ability for the U.S. men's national team to make it to the knockouts and maybe a quarterfinal or further on home soil, I don't think we'd be having any of these discussions right now, Craig. I really don't.
Probably not. You said in the beginning of that answer, it's just sad. And I think that kind of sums it up. Most of our conversation. The conversation was great. It was very insightful. It's just from a subject matter standpoint, it's sad. Jeff Reuter, The Athletic, is where you can read his work. He and his colleagues do a tremendous job covering the sport. Jeff, always great to have you, man. Appreciate your time on a Friday, and have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Hope to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Reuter with us here on the Hoffman Show, telling us about our sad national men's soccer team. If you want more on the women's side of it, did a WOSO show today, me and my guy Andre Carlisle. Check that out in the Hoffman W Sports podcast feed or on YouTube at Hoffman W Sports. We get back the other podcast I do, Take Command. Me, Logan Paulson, talking about things that feel good. It's the opposite of our conversation with Jeff. It's about things that Dan Quinn is doing that are really helping the Commanders organization in small ways that you don't necessarily see on the surface. You might not even realize are important, but Logan explains why they are. You'll hear it next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.